last paragraph on Kuf Beis. The Yakar Min HaKoil. We're talking about how to become a Pirish. The Yakar Min HaKoil, and more precious than everything, Huha Hizboididus, is spending time alone. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He comes at it from a different angle. When we talked about spending time alone, we talked about a person spending time with himself. He comes at it from a different angle here. He says, Ki kemoisha meiser me'enov in yonei ha'olam. When a person takes the inyanim that are in the world, when he removes them from his line of vision, kein mavir chemdoso mi'liboy. So his desire from them is also removed from him. Ukvar hizki David HaMelech olav ha'shalim v'shevach ha'hizboididus. David HaMelech already mentioned in his praise of being alone. The Omar, and he said, Me'itin li ever kayoina. Like halavai, I should have wings like a bird, like a dove. A'ufa ve'eshkoina, I would fly away and dwell somewhere else. Hine archik nidoid olin ba'midbor sela. I would go move away. Thank you so much. I would go move away, and I would stay in the midbar forever. So David HaMelech like wished that he could just remove himself from the crowd and go spend time alone in the midbar. The Hanaviim Eliyahu ve'Elisha, and the Neviim Eliyahu and Elisha matzanu heyaisa miyachdim makoimam al hehorim mipnei hisboy dedusam. We find them finding places on the mountains just to spend time alone. And the Chachamim, the original Tanoim, went in their path. They found this to be the best way, liknois shleimus haprishus, to acquire the shleimus of precious, leman ashalo yevium havle chavrehem, so that the silliness of their friends shouldn't bring them lahabil gamhem kamoisam, to also be become full of silliness themselves. And this yisaid, I'm going to do it a little bit quicker because we've touched recently on all these yisaidis, but we don't realize how much what we see and what we notice and what we observe affects what we desire and what we're pulled towards. And it makes a tremendous difference for a person to spend time with the right types of friends and the right types of environment. Not just a question of tznius and those types of things, which is definitely chashuv in their own right, but also people spend time in the wrong type of environment. It pashut pulls a person in the wrong direction. That's what we talked last time about, how sometimes what our senses see pull us much stronger than what our mind appreciates. What a person has to be careful about in being kind and precious, we don't jump in precious. We don't jump. Precious is a step-by-step thing, one small step after the other. That a person shouldn't want, to skip, and to jump, to its opposite extreme, rega echad, in one moment. Ki ze vaday lo yala biyode. It's impossible. He won't be matzliach. Elo yeh pirish v'haylich ma'at ma'at. The person should be pirish little by little. This also we discussed, that the proper way to be pirish is at the same time that we're learning to have gishmak from ruchnis. A person is never supposed to deny himself gishmak. A person is never supposed to deprive himself. That's not Mesillas Yesharim and Musar and Precious and Sumo Star Tahara. It's not about deprivation. It's about substitution. It's about finding what's really gishmak in life, finding what's really appealing in life, and filling oneself with it to the point that he could leave go of the more childish tahanugim. So that's a person has to go slowly, and as he leaves go over here, he's holding on. It's like when you're a mountain climber is climbing from one step to the next. So as he's lifting up his feet and he's going off that ledge, he's trying to already get a good grasp on the next ledge. So that's what precious is like. You try to jump four ledges up, so you're going to fall down to the floor. A person has to make sure that he's rooted in the next Madrega and Ruchnius before he leaves go of the Madrega and Gashmius. Hayoyim yiknek tzas mimenu. Today he should be cutting a little bit. Umachar Yosef alav ma'at Yosef. And tomorrow he should add even a little more. Achi yisragel by legamri, until he's completely ruggel in it. Ki yoshev loy kemoiteva mamish. Then it will become like his nature. It will become part of his nature. Okay, that's the end of Precious. I said over a var today in the Sunday morning shiur that struck me very, very, very strongly, especially as we move from one madrega to the next in Masilas Yesharim. I thought it's an interesting topic to talk about. And it's a nice var in Parshas Vayechi, so I'm going to say it over. But before I say it, I always had a mistaken understanding, and I think that many people share this mistaken understanding. I always thought, who has an easier time being a Jew? Somebody who keeps every single thing exactly like it says in Shulchan Aruch, and every inyan and minig, and you know, like in the most chamardik way, or somebody who says, look, you know, I can't do everything. I got to draw the line somewhere. You know, you got to be chilled out of my Judaism. I have to be relaxed. I'm not going to do everything. I don't have to be the biggest machmer. I can bend the rules a little bit. You know, this I can't accept. Who has an easier Yiddishkeit? So I think most people always assumed that the person who takes it easy is taking it easy. The person who takes it easy has an easier Yiddishkeit. There's more that he can do. There's more that he can avail himself to. There's more freedom. It's brighter than the narrow, you know, tight, rigid approach to having to be mekayim everything. So I saw Chassam Sefer, I said over this morning, I think is a little bit of an eye-opener. If Chassam Sefer says like this, in this week's parasha, Parashas Vayechi, so it starts off, the parasha is sasum, it's called sasum, it's closed up. And that means that usually between one parasha and the next, there's a big space in the Sefer Torah. Between one parasha and the next, and between Parshas Vayigash to Parshas Vayechi, you can see it. If anybody peeks into the Sefer Torah before landing on Shabbos, you can see that there's not a big space between Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Vayechi like there is by most other parashias. So Rashi says, why is that? Zokt Rashi, because when Yaakov Avinu died, and the beginning of Parshas Vayechi is the Misa of Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu died, it was Nistamu Einayim V'Libam Shel Yisrael Mitzaras Hashiva. That the eyes and the hearts of Yidden were closed up from the difficulty of the Shibud. So the Chassam Sofer asks a very, very obvious question. Chazal say, it's in the Rashi's even, I think, in the beginning of Parashat Shemais, that the Shibud didn't start until every single one of the Shvatim died. So if the Shibud didn't start until every single one of the Shvatim died, what happened when Yaakov died? Nothing. So he goes on, if I'm sorry, to ask another question. He says, if you open up the beginning of Parshas Bechukaisai, it says a lot of wonderful things that are going to happen to Yidden, especially when Mashiach comes and so on. A lot of wonderful avtachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will focus on us and give us all kinds of brachas. Women will have children, and the animals will be plentiful, and the fields will yield a tremendous amount of produce, and our enemies will be chased away from us, and our land will not be used for war, on and on and on, and Asati Shalim Baretz, on and on and on, all kinds of brachas. And then it says Hashem will dwell amongst us, and finally at the end, you think this is going to be like the Shpitz, the highest bracha of all, it says, and I will break the rods, the sticks of your yoke. I'm going to break your yokes. One second. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. My enemies were all chased away. No wars are taking place. I'm rich. What yoke? That doesn't sound like a yoke. What yoke? The end of everything is that's va'eshbar moitais olchem. What yoke? That's the Sam Sofer's kasha. Zoktach Sam Sofer. That sometimes a person tries very hard to be what he calls a Yehudi kasha. A good Jew. A person wants to be a good Jew. A person wants to be a good Jew, so he has to have payas. he can't go to, he says he can't go to theaters or to geisha places. He has to keep Shabbos. He has to not wear shatness. He has to, all the things. He has to daven. He has to be up on time to daven. All the things. And he says it's a tremendous oil. It's very, very, very difficult for a person to be a Yehudi kosher. It's very, very difficult. It's a tremendous oil. And then he says, just when you're getting excited, like he finally noticed, you know, he says, Chas v'shalom loymar kein. It's not true. He says, because the simcha and the chedva that we have from the opportunity that we have to be close to Hashem is so exciting to us, it's so exhilarating to us, it's so wonderful to us, that it's just a pleasure to be a Jew. And it's not an oil at all. You know, a guy is being honored by a dinner in front of 2,000 people. And the photographer comes over to him before or after and says, could you please pose for a picture? I'm so sorry to be matriach you. You think it's a tircha? You think it's a tircha? He's sitting and he's posing for the picture. He has to pose this way and he has to wear a suit and he has to act a certain way and he has to receive all his guests and he has to give a speech by the dinner. And you think he feels imposed upon? You think he feels like, I can't believe another picture of me. Which other newspaper wants to take a picture of me already? How many magazines are going to talk about that I was honored by this dinner? You think that's the way it is? He's like, I think that newspaper didn't take a picture of me yet. That's more the way it is. So some sefer says, when a person is zoicha to be a yid, a person is zoicha to be close to Hashem, a person is zoicha to have real Yiddishkeit, the yoke is broken. Even the yoke of his own Yiddishkeit. And that's what he says about the Pesukim in Bechukaisai. Even after I'm in my country and I'm rich and my enemies left me and everything, I still have a yoke from my own Yiddishkeit. It's hard to be a good Jew. Now Hashem says, I'm going to break that too. But Eshbar Moites Ulcham, you're not going to even have any yoke at all. You're going to enjoy, you're going to be joyous and jubilant about your Yiddishkeit. And I didn't have time in the morning to go through, but this 248 mitzvahs asay. This 248 evarim in a person's body. There's a message there. The message is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just give us mitzvahs because they're good for our neshama, or they're good for our olam haba. The mitzvahs that we have, the mitzvahs and the lavim and the essen together, is a type of lifestyle that's the most suited for us. It's the most suited, it leads to the most menucha. And the Yetzirah tries to sparkle and shine other types of ideas to us. But the reality is that we were created in such a way that the most satisfying, exhilarating, purposeful, accomplishing life is the life of 248 mitzvahs aseh, 365 mitzvahs lais aseh. That's the life that agrees with us. I said over then a mashal, I think it's a beautiful mashal. My wife told me she heard once, and I was telling her over the topic of the shir, she told me she once heard this mashal, a beautiful mashal, of a wise man once saw an eagle walking on the street, and he looked depressed. So he said to the eagle, what are you so depressed about? So he said, Hashem was so mean to me. Look at the horse, his robust legs, he could run and gallop. Look at the elephants, nothing gets in the way of an elephant. Look at all these animals, they have such good feet. And I have these thin, I have very strong claws, but these thin little claws, I can hardly run. You imagine an eagle running? It's like, I can hardly move. I jump around a little bit, I can hardly move. But then on top of all that, Hashem, not just that he didn't give me the feet that he gave all the other animals, he gave me these huge, heavy, massive shoulders that are weighing me down. I can hardly balance myself. How am I supposed to keep up with all the animals? So the wise man said, you're making a big mistake. Hashem didn't give you big feet because you're not supposed to run. You're supposed to fly. And those big things that you have on your shoulders, if you'll spread them out, you'll see that they're the largest set of wings that can pick you up higher than all the birds, above all the chayas. So that nimshal is, we sit there and we go, you know, Goyim, they could even watch TV on Shabbos, but we can't. If there's a game on Shabbos, they even get to watch it on Shabbos. Goyim get to eat such and such and such. Goyim don't have to feel guilty. I've heard this many times. Goyim don't have to feel guilty when such and such and such. And all these things. But we don't have the same fat feet that Goyim have. But we're not supposed to run like the Goyim. We're supposed to fly. And we have everything that we need to fly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us wings. We have everything that we need to fly. And that's what we were created for. And there's nothing that satisfies a person more than that feeling of flying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. The Chassam Sofer says that when Yaakov Avinu died, the Shibud started for them because Yaakov Avinu was their inspiration. Yaakov Avinu is what inspired them, what made them fire about their Avodas Hashem. So Yaakov Avinu inspired them. They didn't feel any Shibud at all, not even to their own minhagim and their own way of living. He said after Yaakov died, they also lived like Yidden. It was only after the Shvatim died that they started to live like Goyim. It says that he was a Yerida of Yidden and Mitzrayim. They started to mix with the Goyim. While the Shvatim were alive, they lived like Yidden. But after Yaakov died, that spark, that excitement of being a Yid, of being different, of being a cut above, that left them. And that's what it means, that as soon as Yaakov died, it was Nistamu, Einayim, V'Libam, Mitzaras HaShibud. It was the Shibud to their own lifestyle that was difficult for them. So that led me to think like this. I'm realizing now that when we start picking and choosing in our Yiddishkeit, picking and choosing in what we expose ourselves to, picking and choosing in what we allow ourselves to do, we're not plugged in. We're not excited to be a Yid, excited to be different, excited to fly. We're not that way. And then everything is hard. Everything in Yiddishkeit is hard. So even if I'm only doing half the mitzvahs, but it's still so hard, everything is hard. But the guy who's doing everything, he's plugged in. He's electricity flowing through him. He's alive. He feels closeness to Hashem. He feels the good feeling of doing the right thing, of being on the right path, of following in the footsteps of generation and generation and generation in the golden chain until from Har Sinai. He feels like he's carrying on the charge that the others gave to him. He feels like he's bringing the Dvar Hashem to a dark world. Someone who lives that way, even if he's doing many, many, many more mitzvahs than the other person, has so much of an easier life because he's just doing what he loves. It's just so much easier for him. It's not such a weight. He doesn't get up in the morning and say, it's so hard to be a Yid. And it's a funny thing. Like we run away sometimes. We feel like we're running away from that full involvement because that's really too much for me. Sometimes maybe too much is much less. Sometimes maybe if we would just jump in, like the Rambam says about learning, to be tovel atzmai b'mei hadas, to dip yourself into the waters of knowledge, to completely immerse yourself in learning, or in mitzvahs, or in avodas Hashem. So, sometimes it seems to me that, not sometimes, it seems to me that such a thing could be so much easier and have so much more menucha than the life of the picking and choosing. Than the life of, my Yiddishkeit will go till here, but not this far. I'm not willing to jump in completely. Maybe jumping in completely is easier. Maybe jumping in completely relieves me of a struggle. It relieves me of a yoke and allows me to just fly. Something to think about.